All right, 2 years to fourth grade, and they make their way upstairs. If you had to name a few, what is, and you had to narrow it down to one, what is the most precious or memorable gift that you ever received? Anybody want to share? Yeah, Sally. Is it your granddaughter? Huh? Oh, hey, all right, cool. Any others? Most memorable or precious to you? Yeah.
I wouldn't say necessarily most precious, but probably one of the most memorable ones that I ever received when I graduated high school. A friend of mine gave me a sword that had been his up to that point. And he said, now I want you to know two things about this. He said, a sword is a tool. Throughout history, people have used swords for good and ill. Now you get the choice to do, decide what you're going to do with your life, just like this sword. And he said, for another thing, this sword is just like the Word of God.
Oh, cool.
And I still have that sword. And anytime I look at it, I think about the choices that I have, my free will, and I think about the power of God's Word in my life.
Yes, that would be something to bring to the men's breakfast and remind us of. Yeah. I thought, it was one of the most precious gifts to me was your first part. I graduated from high school. Yes, Randy? Yes, right there. The two of them right beside of you, right? There you go. Oh, you got the hearing, yeah. Okay, well, maybe we need to stand beside each other because then you could be my right ear and I'll be your left ear. How's that? Okay, cool. I might have to talk to you about that, yeah.
When I was 13 years old, me and my sister didn't get a lot of gifts, maybe four gifts apiece. And I always wanted a .22 rifle.
Okay.
Well, after everybody opened up their gifts, my dad said, oh, I got to go upstairs, go to the bathroom. He comes back down, and I'm sitting there not seeing. He put the gun down over my head and laid it in my lap.
Oh, wow. Well, I bet your smile was as big as it is right now. Yeah, cool. One more. Pardon me? The 22 is a 20... Yeah, Randy in his hearing. Yeah, on his right ear, he can hear. Yeah. Now, there'll come a time, Randy, that you probably wish you could tune that off just a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, cool. Listen to your sermon. Wow, that is precious. Yeah. You'll take that with you until you meet him again. Yeah.
I buried him with a copy of the sermon.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. I'll give you one real quick. I think Cammie would probably agree with this one. We got many gifts at our wedding, and I think there's 5 tea makers. That's when tea makers was really. We had to figure out where to take 4 of them back. But we had traveled all the way from Oklahoma into Arkansas and Tennessee, and stayed actually in the Smoky Mountains. Where we honeymoon, and then made her way up to West Virginia. And in Vienna, West Virginia, my sister had set up, because, you know, a lot of people didn't get to come from all the way from West Virginia to Tulsa, Oklahoma to be a part or witness the wedding. And so they had a reception ceremony in West Virginia. And there's gifts, I mean, plenty of gifts, you know, it's really extravagant gifts. And I think there was a money tree and all this other stuff. But we noticed sitting at the back of the table a brown paper grocery sack that had been indented in and the top rolled down. And it was sitting amongst the gifts. And all the other gifts, you know, the silver and the ribbons and the, you know, the bells and all that for, you know, for the wedding. And I actually didn't know if somebody just laid it down or mistakenly put it there. And started to unroll it, looked down in it, there was a card in it. And then when you reached down into the brown paper sack, it was a sack of potatoes. And it was from a lady that I got to meet in Pleasance County, West Virginia, that lived clear back in the holler. And all she could give was to go out to her garden and dig up some potatoes with her hands and wash them off and gave them to us as a wedding gift. To this day, it's one of the most precious and memorable gifts given to us, because it's all that she could give. Her sack didn't look like the other gifts. Didn't have all the bells and whistles, but it was very precious. And we find out in Luke chapter 2 that Mary listened to the Lord and gave us the most precious, memorable gift. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Let's pray. Father, we're looking around this world. We're looking for things to help us in our life. We're looking for things that would bring us joy. And all the world has a table full of these nicely wrapped gifts that we believe that inside them would give us that joy, that happiness. But when we unwrap them, sometimes we even find out they just bring us that much more stress. But Father, we see at the back of the table a brown paper sack, a baby, just wrapped in cloth and laying in an animal trough. And when we find out who that baby is, it's the most precious and memorable gift that we could ever receive. Our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. A child is born. Let us go and tell it on the mountain. It's through his name that we offer up this prayer. And we say together, amen. Matthew chapter 2. I want to unwrap some gifts. 6 of them. We're going to do 3 today. Lord's willing, 3 next week. And then we're going to have a time, the Sunday, before a holiday gift. Now, before, I usually try to announce this because I know people in our heritage that is not in other heritages, in other churches, they question, why do we do this? Why do we talk about him? Well, for one thing, again, I'll say this every year for 10 years. I like talking about Jesus' birth around the Christmas holiday season because it's one of those times we could actually invite people to come here and they're not going to look at you funny. They're actually expecting you to invite them. And we're going to talk about Jesus. And we're going to talk about his birth. If you want me to talk about his birth in July, I'll go ahead and do that. That's great. I'll do a series then too. But I believe the whole world's talking. And I believe if you have had your eyes and your ears open this last few couple of years or so, it's getting worse and worse and worse about your actually even mentioning Christ, who ever lived on this earth. I hope that you talking about Jesus isn't just a one-day event, that it will be an everyday event. Because he's the precious, most precious and memorable gift that you'll ever receive. And you get to unwrap it every day. And there's some 6 things that I want to learn from, and you can learn from with me, from Jesus' birth that we're going to examine in the next couple weeks. So we're going to start with gift number 1 today. We're going to look at gift number 2 and gift number 3, and then Lord's 1, 4, 5, and 6. But if you would, open up your Bibles. This is when it's okay to turn on your phone. Just don't turn the volume up. If you can get online, if you don't have your Bible with you, you can get up, scroll up to Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet was written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." So here's your first gift. And hopefully you can see this in the Word. And this is what you can write down in your notes I provided. God As Mary did, Mary took Jesus, wrapped him in cloths to keep him warm, laid him in a manger, and God has gift-wrapped things in his birth that we can unwrap. Well, the first thing that God has wrapped in Jesus Christ, first of all, was what happened to the Magi. The Magi had unwrapped the gift of guidance to find him. Because the only way that they knew where to find him is that God provided the star. Now, I could go into a lot of scholarly and technology and all this other things of was it the existing planets or whatever. I don't know. God can do anything he wants to do. He might have just created one star for this one purpose. But what it was used for was to give guidance for the Magi to find his son, so that they could go to this place and worship him. So God wrapped the gift of guidance in order to find Jesus' son. Now, we don't know much about the Magi. Traditionally, they're called wise men. We don't know where they came from exactly, even though it does say that they came from the east. We don't know how many there were, but you might stop me and say, oh, yes, Kevin, oh, yes, we do. We know how many Magi there were. There were three. No, there were three gifts given that the Magi brought, but it didn't say that there's only three Magi. Okay, so, but we traditionally have made it just three guys, three wise men. And maybe there was three. Might have been four, might have been 100. I don't know. But they traveled thousands of miles to see the King of the Jews. God guided them by the star. In Numbers 24 and verse 17, it says it's the star out of Jacob. And when the Magi found Jesus, they responded with joy, worship, and with gifts. I don't know about you, but have you ever thought about that every time that we gather in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we should come here as an anticipation that Jesus our Lord was born, and I'm going there to praise and give joy, and I'm going to give a gift to my Lord so that his work can be done. That's what we do. We don't come here as a repetitive ceremony just to get it done so we can go on with the rest of our day. We come here to worship the born Jesus, our Messiah, in all of his life. And boy, if we could just stay with that. You just asked your children, would you like to have Christmas every Sunday? Yes, they'd say, yeah. Well, what they'd be thinking about would be a tree with presents underneath. What if it's about celebrating Christ and we just get together as a mass of believers? So the mass of believers celebrate with joy. Again, really ask yourself, what really makes you joyful? And what do you look like when you're joyful? And how do you react when you're joyful? And if you're not bringing that to the Lord, what is there in the world that brings it to you other than the Messiah being born? We're here to bring joy. We're here to bring an offering of gift so that we can work together and be about the Father's business. We're going to go from the birth to Jesus when he was 12, and then we're going to go at the first of the year to Jesus' life when he shows up at 30 to the cross. And that we can be about doing that with our life. It seems that we just have it backwards today. Instead of us seeking Jesus when we come here, we expect God to come looking for us. And then when he finds us here, we explain what we need to him instead of searching for what he says that we need in our life. Those who are wise seek for Jesus first, and when they're finding him, I don't know about you, when you find out what Jesus has done for you, you can't help but worship him. You can't help but be joyful. You can't help from by saying, I just want to be about my Father's business in everything that I do. Because he's so worthy of our praise. God has wrapped the gift of guidance. We have to ask God to guide us to his Son. Lord, I want to find Jesus. And when I find him, I'm going to worship him. And then I'm going to praise him. And I'm going to offer myself to him. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "Well, how will this be," Mary asked, "since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. Read this with me. I mean, out loud. Verse 37. Here we go. "For nothing is impossible with God." All right. Let's do it one more time. "For nothing is impossible with God." Okay, we're getting there. "For
nothing is impossible with God."
Better. Joyfully now. "For nothing is impossible with God." Do you believe that? God has gift wrapped doing the impossible in your life. He's gift wrapped it. It's found in Jesus. When you turn your life to the gift of Jesus and you let him guide you, when you find him, you worship him, you follow him, God's going to do what we believe is impossible. He gives you that gift. Cousin Mary and Elizabeth each had reason to rejoice. God had honored their everyday faith by granting them both with pregnancy. Now, I got a question for you. Which do you feel is the most incredible? An 80-year-old woman becoming pregnant or a virgin becoming pregnant? What? Both of them? But if you had to choose one. Oh, the virgin? Okay. Is there a reason why? Yeah, you found the word. That's right. Almost impossible. Whatever you believe is impossible. There's a lot of, see what the world feels like. There's certain things in their life. They know they want to get out of their life, but they feel like it's impossible. And they're searching for a gift. They're searching for something wrapped up that will solve that issue. The thing is that they're looking at the wrong present. They need to look for the wrapped cloth around Jesus. Because they're not going to find it in what the world offers. Where they're going to find it, it's laying in a manger where animals eat from. That's where the impossible is found. And so, think about that. God's given us a gift to unwrap, and that's the impossible. The angel has said to Mary in verses 35 and 37 that she would give birth to the Holy One, be born to be called the Son of God, for nothing is impossible. So God has wrapped up the gift of impossible. Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken from the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who had been pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The third thing that God wraps in Jesus is he wraps the gift of provision. Provision. God wraps the gift of provision or providing. They went there. They were searching of a place. It's time for the baby to be born. I don't know about some of you young ladies that recently maybe had some babies and some young ladies that might be going to have babies here in the future. I don't know about you. But I have a feeling that the first place that you're not going to look for is a stable. Okay? They were just looking for an inn. I mean, that would have been their kind of like hospital back then, especially if they had some other ladies come along and help with the birth of the child. But there was no room there. I mean, it was time. And brothers, when your wife says it's time, it's time. And she start moving. I learned that real well. I went real fast. At Megan's birth, by Morgan's, I wasn't moving fast enough. Because it was still time. But all three of our children came pretty quick. No hours and hours and hours and hours. I mean, it was within minutes. And we had to get there. And I believe we'd say, especially for the young ladies, can you kind of put yourself where Mary was? I mean, looking for a place to give birth to your child? Probably by that point, when they could not find any room in the inns, it didn't matter. She didn't look around her surrounding thing. They just went to the stable. It was provided for them. Jesus was born. He was able to stay warm. He was placed in the manger to rest. God provides. Not the most glamorous way, but in a way that met their need. And God's doing that for you. Brothers and sisters, watch how exactly sometimes gifts will do to our children. Been watching video after video after video, trying to find some videos in some of the upcoming sermons that I want to use about this time of year. And there's one that's talking about kids' reaction to gifts they didn't want. I mean, there's boxes thrown on the wall, they were crying, they were pulling hair. I mean, it was a total meltdown of how they reacted because they didn't get what they wanted. And what God says to us as being followers of His, it may not be exactly what you pictured, but I will provide. I will take care of your need. How do you think Mary felt when she was able to hold the baby Jesus into her hands for the first time? I don't think it mattered where the place that it was, but that she had listened and found favor with the Lord, and what she was holding was a son that would take away the sins of the world. God wrapped in Jesus Christ a provider for you to get rid of your sin. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. God gift wrapped guidance. He gift wrapped the impossible. And He gift wrapped provision. Our question today is, will we unwrap the gifts? So I just invite you, if you would like to unwrap the gift and seek for Jesus, you can make that known in different ways. Traditionally, we sing this song to allow you to be able to have any kind of response. I have evaluated some things about what I'd like to do with that in the future because it just doesn't seem like we get a lot of responses in a spiritual way. And I can understand about coming up here to give that. Some people can, some people can't. And I think we need to provide probably a way that more people will be able to respond to a message and still get done what we want to. We will provide for you this morning. If you want to see me afterwards, see one of the brothers and sisters here. And we'll just make sure that you're prayed for and that your need is met. God will provide. If you'd like to recommit, this would be the best day for it. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. I tell you, Jesus is waiting to be unwrapped. Seek him with all your heart. So David, we ready to sing our song? What are we singing about? When we walk with the Lord, the light of his word, he shed that provision. Let's stand and sing it together.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.